Do you fear Satan? Oh, he's a crafty enemy. But God has promised us that Satan can never defeat us if we turn to God for protection. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
We're not in this battle as Christians to try to win the war. The war has been won. Jesus was born, came into the world, and the Bible says in 1 John, and destroyed the works of the enemy in your life. When you put your faith in Christ, the works of the enemy are destroyed. And yet, sometimes we're filled with fear because of some intimidating wall, something that happened in our past that has become a wall in our life, and we cannot move forward. But Paul the Apostle made the comment in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, in light of what the Lord saying to Joshua here, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
As Christians, we're called to walk by faith. That does not mean faith in faith or faith in our feelings, but faith in God and His Word. That's our focal emphasis today on the dwelling place. In Joshua chapter 6, we have the very famous account of the fall of Jericho. We all face Jerichos today in a manner of speaking. Walking by faith, obedient faith focused on God, is still how the walls of Jericho fall today. To encourage us to trust in the Lord, even if what He tells us doesn't seem to fit or feel right, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
What I want to talk to you about today is let the walls fall down. And God is always greater than the walls that we face within our lives. And when I talk about walls, I talk about walls of hopelessness, walls of doubt and fear, and walls that tell us that we cannot achieve certain things, that we cannot go beyond this particular point in our life, that limit us. Sometimes walls developed out of our childhood. Sometimes walls developed because of a failed marriage. Sometimes walls developed because of our weaknesses or whatever. Those walls will fall down. And what we find here within our text in Joshua chapter 6, we have the account of the children of Israel going up against the city or the town of Jericho. And it's a walled, fortified city. A city actually that was established according to World History Encyclopedia, and then there some scholars and archaeologists differ, but it was established around 9,000 BC. It's an old city, and it's interesting that it was established at a very low, the lowest point on the planet. Its elevation is at the lowest point on the planet, and it serves a reason because Jericho was really at the low point morally. They had, of course, rebelled against God and was not walking in the ways of God. In fact, it was a very wicked city. You think about Jericho, a very wicked city, a city given over at this time to idolatry. And I say at this time, when this account was recorded, or when it was the time that they actually went up against the walls of Jericho, I should say, it was around, again, remember, they were established, the city was founded in 9,000 BC. This is now 1400 BC. So a lot of years have passed, a lot of mercy, a lot of grace, God showing the city of Jericho. But as we will find here, God is going to bring down the walls of Jericho, and God can bring down the walls that are in our lives as well. And God instructs the children of Israel to march around the city, as we will see within our text. But what I find here, as by way of application, are really three points of application I want to point out today, and then I want to talk about some other lessons that we see here in the book of Jericho. So we have a lot of ground to cover. Strap yourself in, amen? It's going to be a bumpy ride. All right. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Let us read that together as we get started here. The Bible says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Literally, it was a prison. It was shut up because of the children of Israel. And the Lord, verse 2, said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. All the men of war. And this you shall do 6 days, and then and seven priests, excuse me, verse 4, seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. So the procession is the men of war will go first, and then the seven priests of the seven ram's horns, and then the Ark of the Covenant. And they're to be followed actually by those who are bringing up the rear that are mentioned in verse 9. We'll get there in just a minute. But so that's basically the procession here, and it would go around the city. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. In verse 5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that you, the people, shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Amen. Here we find, really, in this verses 1 to 5, is where we find what I believe is the first point of application for us in reading the account here regarding the walls of Jericho. And that is this, that walls fall down. And I'm speaking about walls in our lives. Walls fall down when the promise is applied. That is the promise of God's word. The walls in your life, the things that you confront in your life will fall when we apply the promise of God. The shout that we will read about in verse 20 is really the result of the promise given here in verse 2. And what is that promise? The Lord says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and all its mighty men of valor." In essence, the wall that you are facing, the very thing that you're standing before, I have already defeated. And I would say to you, the wall that you are facing, the very thing that you are standing before, the very thing that intimidates you right now, that thing from your past or that relationship that went wrong or whatever, that thing that is telling you, filling you full of doubt and fear, God is saying to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, that wall has already been defeated. It's already been defeated. The enemy has already been defeated that stands before you. As someone once said, that we're not fighting for victory, but from a position of victory based upon the word of God. Amen. We're not in this battle as Christians to try to win the war. The war has been won. Jesus was born, came into the world, and the Bible says in 1 John, and destroyed the works of the enemy in your life. When you put your faith in Christ, the works of the enemy are destroyed. And yet, sometimes we're filled with fear because of some intimidating wall, something that happened in our past that has become a wall in our life and we cannot move forward. But Paul the Apostle made the comment in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, in light of what the Lord is saying to Joshua here, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Why does he say that? Because the war has been won. There are many battles, but understand this, the war has been won through faith in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. The land belongs to you as Jericho belonged to the children of Israel. Why? Because the commander of the army of the Lord has gone before you. And we saw the commander of the army of the Lord in chapter 5, verse 13. We know that it was a theophany, a manifestation of God in human flesh in the Old Testament. And the commander of the army of the Lord continues talking to Joshua in chapter 6 and says, "I have given you the city." Amen. And God is saying to you today that I have given you the city. I've given you the victory over whatever you might be facing right now. I've learned in my life that in times when I'm facing weaknesses in my life, or times when I'm facing attacks, or, you know, from the enemy, and sometimes from people, times when I'm facing that which seems to be impossible, or even temptations, that I've got to put the word on it. Amen. I'm not trying to figure it out on my own. I take the promise of God and I put it on it. If I'm full of fear, I remember God's word says that he has not given me a spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of a sound mind. I put that on it. Amen. on that fear. You have to have God's word to counter what the enemy's trying to pull over on you, or the wall that is before you. That's why I encourage you to read the word, to have a regimen of reading God's word each and every day. And if you need a word, do you have a word, Pastor, on doubt or fear? You know, if you can buy books that will give you information about categories of different things that you may be dealing with, that will give you scriptures for those things, or just Google it. Amen. Whatever. You know, I need scripture in the scriptures, you know, from the Bible on fear, and it'll give you a whole list of scriptures or whatever. Take one of those, memorize it, put it in your mind against that wall and say, no, I'm not going to walk in that. This is what God says about me. I'm not going to walk in how I feel or what other people say about me, but what does the word of God have to say about my situation? Amen? And that's what you walk by. When you're facing the wall, the first thing is apply the promise of God's word to it. The wall will come down.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in Joshua chapter 6. As we course our way through the year 2023, there are some very heavy challenges ahead for each of us. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org. and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now here's Pastor Al Pittman with the conclusion of today's message titled, Let the Walls Fall Down.
His word is true. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. His word never returns void, but accomplishes that which he sends it to do. And Joshua and the children of Israel marched before these walls in Jericho because they had a divine promise from God. In verses 6 to 9, and some of this I'm going to just skim over because for the sake of time, but in verses 6 to 9, there Joshua basically reiterates what the commander of the army of the Lord has told him about the procession and all. He shares with the priests and he shares with the people and with the soldiers and all with the Lord's instructions regarding the procession. And I just told you about the procession, how the soldiers would go out first and around, and then they would be followed by the seven priests with the seven horns, and then the Ark of the Covenant would follow. And then in verse 9 here, it tells us the rear guard will come in. The rear guard, some believe, was probably those who were following. Of course, the soldiers are up in front of them, but they're coming behind maybe with their weapons and the equipment for the soldiers for the impending battle when the walls fall down around the city of Jericho. Jericho was not a large place, surprisingly. It was just kind of a small town, really, compared to cities today. It wasn't very large. Archaeologists estimate that the distance around Jericho was only like, and I read and researched and just kind of looked at it, because you get all kinds of different opinions, but I kind of settled down. It was about 1.3 miles to walk around the thing. It wasn't very big at all, which is probably surprising to you as it was to me. The stone walls measured about 3.6 meters, that's 11.8 feet high, and about 1.8 meters wide, or 5.9 feet wide. So it wasn't, again, a very formidable walls, but it wasn't a very large facility or very large city. You might wonder, I thought, you know, with such a small footprint, why didn't they just walk around it? No. There's Jericho. Oh, there's a little town, you know, whatever. But here's the thing, is that God had to deal with Jericho. One thing, Jericho was in the land of promise, the promised land, and God was giving the land to his people, and there could be no wickedness in the land. Jericho, again, lowest elevation on the planet and also lowest elevation of morality, great wickedness and idolatry there. And God wanted his people to deal with it. In fact, throughout the land, he wanted them to deal with all the wickedness that was in the land and act by the edge of the sword, which was really an act of judgment against Jericho. And so they're facing judgment here. And, you know, but why not just go around and get back to them later or whatever? Well, it's just like sin in our life. You know, as long as you're going around sin and not dealing with it, it's going to come back to haunt you. And Jericho would come back to haunt the land of Canaan. And God said, we need to deal with it. And there's some things in our lives, And they've become walls in our lives, or habits, or things that, you know, that you're doing that you know do not please the Lord, and yet you're caught up in, and God, you've been going around and making excuses for it, and God is saying, no, deal with it. Amen? So he's having them deal here with Jericho, not just to, they can't just ignore it. Now, they walked around the city. The Bible says the armed men, the soldiers walked around the city, and the, you know the procession, I just shared it with you. But, you know, we know the census said that they had, Moses took, said they had over 601,000 soldiers. So it was 601,000 walking around the city. I believe just as they selected the priests, there's only, not all the priests, but certain priests, there was seven with the trumpets and those who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant with the poles. And they were selected to be in the procession, but not all the priests. And I don't think maybe all the mighty men were selected, but they did have a representative or representation of the armed men that were in the procession. How many? The Bible doesn't tell us, you know, so we can only speculate. But I don't think it was all the children of Israel marching around the city, because at this particular point, with 601,000, over 601,000 soldiers, they're estimating, it depends on who you read, what commentary or whatever, historian, they're estimating about 2 to 3 million people. You imagine 2 to 3 million people walking around a 1.3 million circumference or city, it would be ridiculous. It would be impossible. So probably it was they were just selected soldiers. How many, I don't know, whatever. But this is the procession of soldiers, the priests with the horns, and then the Ark of the Covenant. And then those bringing up the rear, which are probably carrying equipment and weapons for the soldiers. Verses 10 to 11. We read here where it says, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your mouth, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. Verse 11, so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So they would go around in that procession for one day, and they would go back to the camp just once, and they would rest, and then the next day they would do it again for 6 days, and then, of course, on the seventh, they would shout. But what I want to point out here, and it really brings us to our second point of application, is Joshua says, when you're marching around here, keep your mouth quiet. Don't say anything. Now, I'm thinking of human nature. You know, you're marching around there, you might want to say something or be tempted to say something, but no, be quiet. And it was really an act of faith, of just trusting the Lord, because these are descendants of grumblers and complainers. They were in the wilderness with Moses, and they grumbled and they complained. And Joshua's telling here, don't say a word. It's kind of in their DNA. They like to grumble and complain. Amen. In fact, I was reading there in Exodus and also the book of Numbers, I counted 12 times, that's in the New King James Version, but I counted 12 times, 12 instances whereby the children of Israel grumbled against Moses, and not only Moses, but against God. And I thought, man, what a bunch of buffoons. How come they didn't just, you know, what are they grumbling all the time? And like the Lord said to me, don't you do the same thing?
Yes, sir.
You know, grumbling and complaining, you know, but we have so much to be thankful to God for. A lot of times we just grumble and complain about different things. But he wanted them to be silent, to be quiet. Why? Because he wanted them to be patient. And this brings us to, again, our second point of application. That is, you know, walls will fall down when patience is applied. Patience is applied. Have you applied patience to your situation? Oh, how easy it is for us to just get become impatient and then to, you know, take matters in our own hands. And a lot of times we're patient with God, but we put God on a timer, don't we? And it's just ticking away, and then by the time you go, ding, 2 weeks, Lord, you haven't done anything, I'm going to take matters in my own hands. No, be patient and wait upon the Lord. Hold your peace. We want to get on the phone. We want to go to Facebook. We want to talk about people and all this kind of stuff, or express our feelings and all. And the Lord says, be still. Shut your mouth. And know that I'm God. Oh, but Pastor, I just needed to share with somebody. Oh, the Bible calls that gossip. And we live in an age today where people do that, to get on Facebook. It's kind of new to me. I'm an old timer, you know. If you didn't like somebody, you wrote them a nasty note. I know. Now people just go to Facebook. And not just people, but brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says a friend loves at all times. The Bible says we should forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. And when you go on Facebook and began to slam your brother or sister in Christ, when you haven't practiced what Jesus told us to practice, if your brother offends you, go to him. Your sister offends you, go to them. You are sinning against God, and you're sinning against his body. That's exactly what you're doing. Because you've taken matters in your own hands, and you think you can do what only God can do. But when we're quiet and we're still, we wait upon God. It's hard for me to wait upon the Lord and just be quiet because I'm a preacher. I like to talk. Amen. And my sons, when they were young and at home, they would hate to come and ask me a question about something because they knew they were going to get, you know, a joke, 3 points, and a conclusion, and an altar call. Amen. Just, they knew I was going to just lay it on them. Amen. So they would go to their mom, you know, because mom would just talk, tell them. But dad's going to give them a long lecture about something and then do an altar call. Amen. It's hard. One of the toughest disciplines of a follower of Jesus Christ as a disciple of Christ is to be quiet, to hold your peace. You may be facing a wall in your life. And like the children of Israel, God says, get up early in the morning and walk quietly. I mean, that's basically walk through your day quietly. Hold your peace and wait for me. I'll tell you when to shout. Amen. There's always, you know, when you shout before your time, you always get in trouble. Amen. And my wife and I have had some discussions, and I've shouted before my time. I never win those battles. Amen. And I've learned over the years, have to, you know, making so many mistakes, sometimes just hold your peace. You know, a lot of times when you hold your peace like that, God will speak to somebody else's heart. But if you're talking all the time, they can't hear from God. Hold your peace. Wait on God, be patient. Like the children of Israel, quietly walking around the wall, you know. I'm sure they were tempted, like maybe they went to hand signs or something. Because we like to talk. But Joshua said, don't you say a word. When we're silent, we enthrone God in his proper place within our hearts. You don't have to always give the answer, even though you know it. Sometimes people will come to me and ask me, Pastor Allen, you know, I know what the answer is, but I'm not going to tell them. God says, hold your peace, because they need to learn on their own. Don't give them the answer. Let them learn on their own. There's time to be quiet when you're facing the walls in your life. Don't panic. Don't call up all your friends. Call on the Lord.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in God's wonderful Word. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.